Scotland Yard says it is removing more than 1,000 pieces of terrorist-related content on the Internet. It's material like this, in which a man who says he is British calls on people around the world to join the fighting in Syria.
O you who believe, answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to what gives you life. We have brothers from Bangladesh, Iraq, Cambodia, Australia, UK.
Now, the British authorities have worried about this sort of propaganda at least since the London bombings in 2005. One person who has worked on the problem for years is Harris Rafiq, who says there is a network of terror recruiters inside Britain. First as a member of a counter-extremism task force, and then with Britain's Quilliam Foundation, he has tracked the way extremists work on sites like Facebook and Twitter.
By using names, by using hashtags, and they're actually quite popular. For example, they were using the recent World Cup hashtag as one way of people actually saying, oh, okay, let me have a look at what's going on there, and going onto the hashtag and finding lots of ISIS recruitment material. For these guys, it's really about looking at what drives youngsters to go down that path.
Interesting example you gave of using a World Cup hashtag to get in front of people's eyeballs almost randomly. I guess if you're a jihadi recruiter, you assume that a certain number of people from Muslim countries or of Muslim backgrounds would be watching the World Cup, and you might have a chance to get them there. But then how do they make the messages appeal to young or troubled people? Because there's a lot of ways that social media can go disastrously wrong, I would think, even for them.
Sure. One of the ways that they actually get people to eyeball them, their Twitter accounts, if you like, by using hashtags such as the World Cup, but then also get them to download software. And what this particular application was doing was actually taking over their Twitter accounts at certain periods of time and then sending out messages to millions of people at the same time. So that was one of the things they were doing. Secondly, the rhetoric that they use is not always straight in at the sharp end. I remember one of my ex-colleagues who used to be a recruiter for an Islamist organization and has completely disavowed the whole ideology and theology. He often tells a story about how one time he was on a train traveling somewhere and he saw a woman with a young child, and the woman was wearing a hijab, so he identified her as a Muslim, and she was reading a newspaper. And on the newspaper, there was a lead story of somebody who had been found guilty of being a paedophile. And he was able to create this personal vulnerability with this mother to actually focus in on the fact that she would care about protecting her child. Therefore, he built this whole narrative around paedophiles and ended up, over a period of time, recruiting this woman to the cause. And the moral of the story really is that it's all about identifying the person and talking that person's language.
And, of course, you can do that over time online. You can learn more and more about a person and tailor the message, you're saying.
Absolutely, you can. You know, you won't suddenly read something on hashtag World Cup 2022, for example, and end up being a jihadi just because you've read a tweet. It's a process that takes place over a period of time. And, of course, you know, underpin that all with the Islamist ideology for decades, underpin that with effective recruitment. I'm not really surprised that there are some people from the UK that have gone out there.
You know, it's been about 9 years now since the attacks on the London Underground subway and bus bombings, which prompted British authorities to say, we're going to crack down on this kind of radicalism. We have to make some serious changes in society. We have to make sure that extremists are not getting their messages out. Has anything changed?
Well, I was part of the government task force after the bombings, and we came up with a strategy called Preventing Violent Extremism, which has evolved over the years. And there were really two parts to the strategy. The sharper part of it was intervening and providing interventions when youngsters have been identified as supporting violence or supporting terrorism. The bigger part of the, and what we used to call the softer part of preventing violent extremism, is really helping to build resilience within communities, countering the narratives, countering the ideas, so that when youngsters have these messages, this lens created in front of them, they have the ability to push back.
That's got to be a hard argument to win, though, because the voice of authority is always going to be suspected by somebody who is feeling a little edgy or feeling a little marginalized.
No, I don't think it should be coming from government. That's very important. I think it really needs to come from society. It needs to come from activists. It needs to come from people who are ready, willing, and able to do that. I think YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, etc., they have, as organizations that are part of our social environment and the online environment, they have a duty to get involved as well. And I think this has to be a collective, collaborative effort from mainstream society. And I think that this is a collective problem for us all.
Haris Rafiq is a counter-extremist outreach officer with the Quilliam Foundation in London. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.